Reconnect and heal today. Welcome to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Everybody, and welcome to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And I was told that Dream Vision now broadcasts in over 200 countries. So the number is upped. And we're also Dr. Turndorf Turn on the Love on Binge Networks TV, and we're streaming live on YouTube. So I have a question for you. Could you have undetected heart disease? It's a very scary question, but one that's worth asking. Today, we're going to be talking about the symptoms and the risk factors of cardiovascular disease, heart rhythm disorders, and myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart. And we're going to be talking about the unusual escalation of heart ailments and what natural support we can use to protect and strengthen our heart. So we're going to have a very heart-to-heart and eye-opening conversation today with my dear friend, my soul sister, Sandy Sanderson. Sandy has a Bachelor of Arts from the University of New South Wales, and her postgrad studies are in marketing, and she also was awarded Publisher of the Month this month in the Gold Coast magazine. She's the founder and the CEO of Electromagnesium. And she had a health crisis in 2008 from stress overload and shift working as a magazine publisher. And she discovered that magnesium deficiency was the primary cause of her stress-related conditions. And without enough magnesium, her cell metabolism and recovery was diminished. And she used her transdermal magnesium to recover from heart arrhythmias and other symptoms such as Hashimoto's thyroiditis and hypothyroiditis. And Sandy, also, I understand that you're going to have to update your bio. You were just awarded a very honorable mention from Prevention Magazine, right?
Yes, yes. Best of Natural Beauty Awards for our magnesium charge lotion. So a lot of people having muscle problems at the moment. So it's a really lovely natural product, and you don't have to digest anything, which a lot of people really like.
Yeah. So let's jump right in, because I know we want to talk about how heart damage can happen to anyone when there's enough stress on your plate.
Well, so that introduction was quite good, because my own journey into magnesium started with severe heart arrhythmias 13 years ago. And the stress caused an intermittent extra beat in the left ventricle of my heart muscle, which caused me to, you know, catch my breath. I was getting dizzy. I was very fatigued. And I was feeling wired but tired, you know, when you're pumping adrenaline, but there's no reason, you don't have any, you know, stressful thoughts, you don't know where that adrenaline's coming from, but suddenly the heart's doing its own thing.
Yeah, it's a biochemical reaction. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, well, you're just anxious, you're having a panic attack, but it's really biochemically driven.
It is, because low magnesium all by itself can cause your adrenals to produce too much adrenaline, too many stress hormones. It kind of doesn't know when to switch off. You become much more hypersensitive to just little stresses. The little anything can set you off and or make you jumpy, or, you know, the door opens and closes, and for you it's like a big slam.
Right.
And so someone that lives with you said, what? I didn't do anything. So if you're feeling yourself getting jittery and jumpy, or difficulty sleeping, a feeling of restlessness, there are some of the signs of magnesium deficiency. And of course, needless to say, your heart is a very important organ in the body, and it must work 24/7. It kind of doesn't get the luxury of switching off. And so we need to look after it very well. Now, I've been doing a lot of research. The last week in particular, I was been doing my head in, because this is a really, really big topic. So I found from the CDC, just to give you an idea, heart disease is the leading cause of death for men, women, and people of most racial and ethnic groups in the United States. One person dies every 36 seconds from cardiovascular disease, and this accounts for one in four deaths. And in addition to clogged arteries, angina, myocardial infarction, which is heart attack, other cardiovascular diseases include stroke, hypertension, rheumatic heart disease, myo- and pericarditis, which is inflammation of the heart muscle, cardiomyopathy, arrhythmia, which is what I had, congenital heart disease, heart valve disorders, aortic aneurysms, arteriosclerosis, that's when you've got your cholesterol plugging up your arteries, and thrombosis, so blood clots. And blood clots, if they dislodge, can lodge anywhere in the body. And we did a show on this a couple of months ago, because that's another very biggie.
Right, and there's arteriosclerosis and atherosclerosis, right?
Yeah, so the atherosclerosis is like a big umbrella for all those things I just read out. It's everything to do with the heart muscle, the cardiovascular system. And arteriosclerosis is specifically focused on the buildup of plaque in your arteries, making the passageways narrower, and so increasing that blood pressure. And you know, it might give you angina as well. And eventually, if you don't do anything about it, a heart attack. And of course, we don't want that. And you want to know how to.
Yeah. And you know, so I was just thinking about broken heart syndrome. That is something people don't realize is a real deal.
It's a thing. Yes. Yes. It is a thing. People can die of a massive heart attack if they have a big flood of stress hormones, emotion, trauma. It can really hit you so hard that the heart just can't cope. And especially if you're low in magnesium, it compounds everything. Magnesium gives us resilience. It gives us that inner strength, the feeling that, you know, you've got confidence, you can deal with things. You feel a sense of balance on the inside when you have enough magnesium. And when you don't, you really notice that you feel more fragile, more hypersensitive. And so stress is the fundamental underpinning of all degenerative disorders. So stress of some kind, it could be psychological stress and fight or flight syndrome, you know, where you very easily feel anxiety and the need to get away or to run, or, you know, you're just fearful. Some people do excessive exercise. That's another form of stress. They go to the gym every day, you know, the gym junkies. There's sleep deprivation, and you mentioned before the shift work. That is huge. People don't realize how much damage they can do to the cardiovascular system with sleep deprivation, or just not being in the right sleep cycles so that your body can have a very restful and restorative sleep. Because during the night, during your deep sleep cycles, your body, your pineal gland, and we did the show last month, produces the melatonin. And that's a very powerful antioxidant that helps your brain clean itself of all the waste products and the debris that's accumulated with all the metabolism during the day. That, you know, that's the cleanup team comes in at nighttime. And when you get those deep restful sleeps, you wake up very refreshed in the morning and clear-headed and ready to go. And if you don't sleep well, if you toss and you turn, or you might sleep and have a lot of nightmares, which is still very energetic and not very restful, so you're not getting into those very deep levels. All those things can cause a lot of stress over time, which adds up. What else have we got? Shocks and traumas, you know, car accidents, you know, whatever might happen to us that really gives you a whack.
And you know, Sandy, you know my latest book, If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again, talks about the research that hasn't entered mainstream at all. The MDs, your GP doesn't know about it, that all it takes is one accident, one illness, one stress for the body to rapidly excrete its magnesium stores, which triggers something called HPA, hippocampus pituitary axis dysfunction, which is synonymous with PTSD. So the reality is that I'm saying in this book, the stress of the COVID pandemic has pushed everyone into magnesium deficiency and PTSD, and of course, all these other conditions that follow as a result of low magnesium.
That's true. And also, several studies have now shown that the more stress you have, so under stressful conditions, the kidneys release more magnesium instead of recycling as much as is thought. They lose excessive magnesium. So it's all compounded. So if you're not very well, if you've got diabetes or kidney disease or heart disease, that's a sign that your vascular system is getting a little bit stiffer and more rigid. And if the kidney tubules are stiffer from too much calcium, then they're not going to be able to move in and out. It's this ebb and flow in the body that needs to be maintained. We need to stay juicy and soft and pliable and stretchy and able to bounce back. So when your tubes are rigid, then they get looser, they lose things. And you don't want to lose your electrolyte minerals because that's what helps your body rebalance the pH. So pH is extremely important. And the body is always in a battle to try and rebalance the pH.
Back up for one sec, because you said something important that I know is very clear to you, but I want to make sure everybody watching and listening gets this. Calcium is a bully over magnesium. So basically, if you're supplementing with calcium, this is something I say to people, just don't supplement with calcium. And they're like, what? But when you supplement with calcium, your calcium bullies the magnesium, and then the calcification of your arteries, the tubules in your kidneys, all these things harden you. So you talk a little bit about this bullying mechanism of the calcium over magnesium.
Yes. So we inherited that kind of thought process about calcium from last centuries when they were in the 60s, 70s, et cetera. The dairy companies used it as a marketing tool to tell people, well, drink your milk and you need lots of calcium. And so we were programmed to think we need lots of calcium, but children need a lot of calcium. But as we become adults, we need less calcium because we're already then fully grown. So children who have a lot of rapid bone growth will be using up a lot more calcium than adults. And so what happens with this balance between magnesium and calcium? Calcium is a tightening mineral and magnesium is a relaxation mineral. So when we have muscles contracting, what happens is that the magnesium occupies the cell membrane and it holds the membrane together in a relaxed and hydrated state. And then when we need things to squeeze together for that muscle push, calcium shoots into the calcium channels, magnesium comes out, they like swap places, and some water comes out as well, which enables that the cells of the muscle fibers to pull together. That calcium has a pulling effect, it attracts. And then we need to relax, so then they swap places again, magnesium goes back in, kicks the calcium out, and the cell membrane goes back to normal, and the cell gets more hydration again and goes back to its expanded relaxed state. This type of pushing and pulling, this type of ebb and flow, contraction, relaxation, happens constantly in the body and happens in the brain as well. So calcium is used when neurons fire. It's like a slingshot and then it explodes and that calcium fires and then the neurons send messages. And so when you get brain scans and you see all that electrical activity, that's what's happening at lightning speed. I mean, literally, it is lightning in the brain. And when it happens in the heart, you know, there's a lot of electrical activity in the heart, of course, as well. That's our other brain. A lot of people call the heart, the emotional brain. It's our more human side, whereas the brain. And underneath our skull is a lot more functional or robotic. But when we connect with what makes us human, express love and higher levels of conscious thought and being altruistic and compassionate, all those things actually generated those ideas and feelings come from the heart and translated by the brain. So, you really need your heart to be human. It's in all our literature for millennia. People have really revered the heart as you know, something that makes us who we are. And in a sense it is. And you know, when they've done heart transplants, people's personality seems to change. They've done a lot of research and they kind of inherit some of the attributes of the original owner of the heart. So that's quite interesting. Anyway, back to the magnesium and the calcium, this push and this pull. So what happens if you get too much calcium, not enough magnesium, you stiffen up because the interchange doesn't happen as regularly as it should. We don't have enough magnesium for the relaxation phase again. And in the food supply, we get a lot of calcium and not enough magnesium. And then you add to it that we lose a lot of magnesium under stress. It's a compounding effect. And so even though we need calcium for bone building and this contraction, a phase of muscles and the brain neuron firing, nevertheless, we get a lot of calcium. And when we don't have the magnesium to balance, we can run into trouble. So if you have over-calcified parts in the brain, you feel, you know, hyperactive, you can't sit still, you've got the jitters, your mind is always racing, you find it difficult to sleep. It's you know, very draining, because you'd feel like you're on a treadmill and you're constantly having to spend energy. You just can't stop the treadmill. And magnesium helps us stop the treadmill. And, you know, if you don't have enough magnesium and then too much calcium, your heart can also then miss beats. It can lose its rhythm, which is what I had the heart arrhythmias. Heart arrhythmias for me was associated with the stress that coupled up with hypothyroidism. So your thyroid really needs a lot of magnesium and iodine. And that's part of the whole endocrine system. You know, your pituitary, hypothalamus, the pineal gland, they all talk to one another and try and balance your hormones. And when one of those goes out of sync, it's like a cart and one of the wheels is not the right size and it gets wobbly. And then you have problems. So if you have magnesium coming into the system, it underpins everything. It's probably as important as water. And no matter what ailment we talk about, we can always find magnesium at the bottom of it, not getting enough magnesium. And it's pretty hard to get too much magnesium. It's you know, even when they use it for intravenous injections, you know, that's in a very acute situations. If someone's having a heart attack or about to, or, you know, at that very sensitive stage and doctors are very concerned, they have for a long time reached for magnesium because magnesium doesn't have deleterious side effects. You know, you can use it, you can have an instant relaxation and return to normal, and then the heart muscle recovers quite well. Whereas other drugs and chemical preparations can have some kind of damage to the heart or ongoing issues. So magnesium is like very benign. It's if you're not sure, you know, use magnesium first. Usually I think about 80% of problems clear up when people get enough magnesium. And if there's anything left over, it's much easier to identify what the problem is when, you know, you've ruled out, well, it's not magnesium, because you're getting plenty and you've addressed all those issues, and now there might be something left over or there might be nothing left over. And so, you know, you're all in balance, and then it's just a question of maintaining the health.
Yeah. You know, I find also, because zinc is so important, you know, in the enzymatic functions of the body, that a lot of times people aren't getting enough zinc. And when you combine the zinc with the magnesium, you're basically covering all the bases.
Yeah, so zinc is probably the second most important mineral with so many jobs to do. It's very important for your integumentary system. So all your collagen formation, skin, hair, bones, nails, teeth, and also hormone balance. Very important for both males and females for zinc. And the immune system, it's like a pretty broad-based application, and it works in synergy with magnesium. So if you just take zinc and you haven't got enough magnesium, the zinc's not going to do its job as well as it could. And zinc also backs magnesium up. So the two of them work a little bit in tandem. They're like buddies. And so if you have zinc deficiencies, and you can find out if you have mineral deficiencies with a tissue analysis, so like a hair analysis or a biopsy, but that's very invasive. There is something called an EXA test as well, which takes some tongue cheek scrapings.
The EXA test is only doing the major minerals, not the trace minerals, right?
EXA test only does the magnesium.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, but hair analysis can do a whole range of minerals. So you can get an idea of your zinc levels, because the minerals are stored in the tissue cells, and hair is a body tissue. And when it grows out, it's easy to chop a little bit off underneath near the top of the.
This is a little X-rated detail before we go to break. I've got to bring, you know, if your hair is straightened or colored, you can't use it in the hair analysis, but you can use your pubic hair, presuming that you're not dyeing or straightening your pubic hair. But you know, these are the things I reflect on. But then the thing is, they really want a minimum of a tablespoon of pubic hair. So if you're doing a lot of manscaping or female scaping, you don't have enough hair.
Yes. But when you mean like Brazilian waxes.
Seriously. But that's a whole nother story. Let's take a break. And we'll be back on a more professional note when we return.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
Hi, it's Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Did you know all it takes is one stress, one accident, or one illness to trigger PTSD? Did you know that all the stress associated with the pandemic has created what I call the new global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome? And don't be so quick to say, I don't have PTSD, because many conditions like depression, anxiety, pain syndrome, sleep disorders, and sexual dysfunctions are actually PTSD in disguise. And don't be fooled. Even after the pandemic is behind us, your PTSD will not go away by itself. Don't despair. In my latest book, If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again, I share a simple, research-backed, drug-free remedy for reversing the global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome. This is a solution your doctor doesn't likely know about. Read If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again today, and be on the road to recovery right away.
If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again became a number one international bestseller within 24 hours of its publication. Grab your copy on Amazon and find out why.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about Kiss Your Fights Goodbye at AskDrLove.com. This is Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener. Once again, here's Dr. Turndorf.
Hi again. Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Dr. Turndorf, Turn on the Love on Binge Networks TV, and we're on YouTube. Sandy, let's talk a bit about metabolism and pH balance and how this all figures in to heart disease.
Yes. So this is the crux of everything. It's all about pH in the body. So your energy, your metabolism, everything comes down to your pH balance. Now, young people, you know, children and young adults, and everything is still quite youthful and juicy and energetic and not clogged up with pollution, you know, as adults might be, older people might be, us. And, you know, when you have provocations or, you know, parasites or viruses, bacteria, pathogens, some kind of assault, and that kicks the immune system in, usually the immune system works really well if you've got the right pH balance in your cells, in your blood plasma, and all your energy is balanced and your metabolism is working well. Your immune system kicks in, it comes in, it defeats the bad guys that are trying to take over, and you know, you can return back to normal. And some people don't even notice that they have any symptoms, but they've processed some kind of pathogen, got rid of it, it's out of the system, and everything's good again. This is what we found with 99.7% of people out there may have encountered COVID since last year, got over it. Maybe they might have had a few sniffles, had some days off, you know, like an average cold or flu, and back to normal, no big deal. And they've produced antibodies in the process, which is good. So that kind of then the memory in the immune system remembers that and protects you if you encounter it again and again. Someone else comes with it, you know, it doesn't get you. You've got your walls up, so to speak. However, if the pH is not properly balanced, if you're too acidic, then what happens is your metabolism drops and the immune system becomes weaker. And so I don't know if you've heard, but it's been, you know, a lot of doctors and scientists are talking about the more prone group or the more vulnerable group of people that succumb to severe COVID-19 disease, which comes from the virus SARS-CoV-2. The more severe presentations are with those people who have diabetes, metabolic syndrome, obesity, heart disease, and also, you know, immune system disorders. It's kind of all wrapped up in that same system of, you know, underpinning it is more of an acidic pH problem with acidosis. So what happens is that's just a sign the body has become more and more polluted. It hasn't been able to take out the garbage. So when you have metabolism happening and your mitochondria and the cells are using magnesium to make ATP, adenosine triphosphate, so it makes like our electrical energy currency that drives all systems in the body, the heart, the brain, the immune system, the digestive system, everything needs that energy. And so we need metabolism. It's not just your muscles, but all of the systems, all of the organs in the body need this energy. But the byproduct of energy metabolism are acidic byproducts. And for that, the body counteracts or neutralizes the acids with certain enzymes. They're antioxidant enzymes such as glutathione and superoxide dismutase. And we mentioned sleep before. So when you're sleeping, melatonin does that job for the brain. So there are a number of powerful antioxidants the body uses to quickly neutralize the acids, because acids dissolve stuff. They're corrosive, and they're elements that have electrons missing. They're what they call oxidized. So they're like used up, and they're like Pac-Man, and they're hungry, and they're looking to devour. They're looking to steal electrons from other tissue cells, from other molecules that have electrons. And when they steal those electrons, they leave holes, and it kind of collapses and disintegrates. That's how acid destroys. And magnesium is really important in that antioxidant system, because you have to have magnesium to make proteins, and all hormones, all enzymes, including our detoxification enzymes, rely on magnesium to be made, to be produced. So when you're low in magnesium, those systems will also be weaker. So you're not getting a good enough detox. And then pollution may start to build up, and we can't neutralize the acids, and so acidosis grows. And then to compound that, people who develop diabetes, it starts with metabolic syndrome and then gradually evolves into diabetes, which is a more severe form of metabolic syndrome. And I'll just explain in a minute what that is. And then eventually it moves into heart disease. So it's really a gradual progression of one disease profile with different names along the way. So what happens with metabolic syndrome is that you can't suck in enough oxygen if you don't have enough alkaline plasma in the cell. So the normal range of alkaline in blood plasma and cell plasma should be around 7.35, which is a little bit into the alkaline range. And lower than that, so under 7, starts to become acidic. And the lower the pH, the less oxygen can be absorbed. And we need for the mitochondria to do its stuff and produce our electrical energy for metabolism, we have to have oxygen. And the lower the oxygen, the less metabolism. The other thing that happens is the mitochondria can die in acidic conditions. So the cell has to protect the mitochondria if it gets too acidic by shutting off the cell membrane, or it prevents insulin and glucose from coming in, which we also need for the metabolism. And then it's kind of stuck in the blood and has to be taken to the liver. So then you don't have energy for the mitochondria. They've gone to, you know, on a go slow, on a strike a little bit. And then your liver has to do something with the sugars. So it kind of stores it away in fat cells, along with other waste products that maybe, you know, the kidney and the liver, our detox organs, are overloaded and can't get rid of. It has to keep the blood clean as much as it can. It has to keep that blood plasma in the right range. And our tissue cells are, so only 1% of magnesium is in the blood, but 99% is in the muscle and bone. I think it's about 46% in the muscles and 53% in the bone. And in other words, the tissue cells of the body hold most of our available magnesium and can donate it to the blood if the blood gets too acidic and it needs more magnesium for electrical conductivity, for blood flow, for blood fluidity. The magnesium is very protective of the endothelial lining, so the lining of the blood vessels. And so that range, that blood has to be in a really narrow range, in an alkaline range. And what happens is that you could have a blood test and it might show magnesium is in the normal range, but the tissue cells are very deficient because they've been donating their stored magnesium. And so it's not indicative of what's present in the muscle and the bone cells. So what happens is that in metabolic syndrome, we have a lessening of our ability to make energy. So we get lethargic, slow, fatigued. And we start to turn to more and more, the brain says, give me food, I need energy, you know, because your brain needs a lot of energy to think. And we start to turn to more carbs because carbohydrates are quicker to digest and turn into energy. So it gives us a fast hit of energy, particularly the more processed the carbs are. So sugar gives you the fastest conversion because there's not much work that has to be done. And with sugar metabolism, you don't need to have the oxygen. It can be done in an anaerobic environment. So it's like a plan B, you know, just to keep everything going and to keep some energy pumping through the system. Your body starts to crave sugars and processed carbohydrates. And so you might have a temporary lift and start to wake up, you know, that extra sugar in your coffee is really no good for you at all, but it gives you a temporary hit. And then you have an energy crash because that's what sugar does, because the byproducts are more acidic. So it's always some acidic byproducts, whether you use oxygen or anaerobic glycolysis, but the sugar metabolism results in the most acids being left over. And now, so you've got less energy, so your immune system is sort of stuffed and you can't make enough antioxidants. And it starts to accumulate in the fat cells. And fat cells that the liver makes, the storage cells, hang around your butt and your tummy and sort of around the middle section of the body. That causes a little bit of an apple shape, and they call it a pre-diabetic shape. So that's when you know you're on the way in that direction. Should be a little bit concerned and maybe get tested just in case. You can avoid all this, by the way. Type 2 diabetes is actually avoidable by doing the right lifestyle practices. Type 1 is the one where you're born with that predisposition, and it's a lifelong manner. But people with type 1 diabetes, when you use the right nutrition, can also very successfully manage that condition and have a normal, really good, you know, healthy lifestyle as well. So it's all about knowing your own body and knowing where the strengths and weaknesses are, what you can eat, what you can't eat. And you have to look, speaking of which, you have to look after your microbiome, your digestion. So remember I mentioned hypothyroidism before, and that's also associated with developing obesity and diabetes and those metabolic syndromes. The thyroid is connected with that energetic system. You know, it's responsible for your heat. You know, you get the hot flashes when your endocrine system is up and down when you're in menopause. So you've got a lot of things happening in the body which are triggered by the acidosis, and then it's a revolving door. You can't get out of that revolving door very easily because your kidneys are losing the magnesium under stress. You're losing your alkalizing minerals that help to restore the pH balance. You're going more for carb foods, which create more acids in the body, and you still can't get enough energy, and you're starting to put on a lot of fat weight, even though you're really not eating much food. So this is called metabolic syndrome. And then at the worst it gets, then it develops into type 2 diabetes.
And then the heart disease.
Yeah. And so in the heart disease. So what happens then is there's irritation that happens on the lining of the arteries, so the endothelial lining. And that really needs to be nice and smooth and slippery. And, you know, when you have plenty of magnesium and antioxidants, your blood cells flow, the blood flows fluidly because the cells bounce off one another. They like how they repel one another and they don't stick together and they don't clump together. And when you have a positive charge, which is a little bit more acidic, they start to attract one another, and platelets come in to that in between the cells. They have like a stickiness to them. So platelets, and we talked about this with the thrombosis show, platelets have an important role to plug holes if you have an injury. So they're part of the immune system. So your red and white blood cells and your platelets are made in the bone marrow. And then if you have any kind of assault on the endothelial lining, any kind of, you know, puncture or scraping or scratching or acid wearing away, you start to get these plugs happening. And also calcium moves in. The body pulls calcium from the bones to treat acidity, because calcium can also be used as an alkalizing agent if there's not enough magnesium available. So that then leads to osteoporosis. So the calcium then settles in the soft tissue and joints. So it temporarily helps with the pH balance for a while. But then what does the body do with it? If it's in too much free calcium in the blood, makes the blood thicker. The blood thickening then causes like a dehydration effect in a way, and more hypertension, more high blood pressure. And the thing that exacerbates high blood pressure is calcium deposits on the lining of the arteries. And the arteries then get stiffer. And so your poor heart's got to try and pump harder, try and pump more to get more pressure to move the blood around, for the brain to get the blood, the nutrients, the oxygen. So then you sacrifice some of the blood doesn't access the extremities, so the ends of your body, the outside, so on, you know, near the skin, the fingers, the toes, the extremities of the body start to become a little bit starved of blood and therefore oxygen and nutrients. And then that can cause a lot of problems as well. So you would know that people with diabetes have a lot of problem with their feet because there's not enough oxygenated blood going to the extremities. And, you know, they can have, tissue can just die. And, you know, they some people have to have amputation. It's awful. Just to let you know.
I'm starting to need a spray of magnesium. I'm getting anxious because it is so horrible. We have to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how to turn this Titanic around. What are the things that people can do to reverse this cascade? All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. Hi, it's Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Did you know all it takes is one stress, one accident, or one illness to trigger PTSD? Did you know that all the stress associated with the pandemic has created what I call the new global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome? And don't be so quick to say, I don't have PTSD, because many conditions like depression, anxiety, pain syndrome, sleep disorders, and sexual dysfunctions are actually PTSD in disguise. And don't be fooled. Even after the pandemic is behind us, your PTSD will not go away by itself. Don't despair. In my latest book, If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again, I share a simple, research-backed, drug-free remedy for reversing the global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome. This is a solution your doctor doesn't likely know about. Read If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again today, and be on the road to recovery right away.
If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again became a number one international bestseller within 24 hours of its publication. Grab your copy on Amazon and find out why.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you can't stop crying over the bodily loss of a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's number one international bestseller, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, will show you how to toss out the tissues and transform your grief into joy using her groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and even heal unfinished business with those in spirit without the assistance of a medium, channeler, or psychic. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. And now, back to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Hello again, and welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network and Dr. Turndorf, Turn on the Love on Binge Networks TV and YouTube Live. Sandy, I was so involved in this conversation that I didn't see my engineer Bob texted me that there were two people with questions. And I don't know if these two people gave up because I neglected to look at my texts. Bob, are they still holding?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, so that was, I'm really sorry. You guys, the people who have reached out, just email me and I'll make sure to respond, okay? And then, of course, come back next time and I'll do a better job of paying attention to my notifications. So we said that we were going to talk in the final segment, or I said, we were going to talk about how to turn the Titanic around. So would you like to
Yes. So just before I get to that, I have to mention one more thing about ACE2 receptors. So this is a very important protein, and the spike protein from the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the spike protein is the toxin. It's the poison. It's a protein, and our ACE2 receptors are a protein, and both of them attach to the cell wall using the same ACE2 receptors. So scientists have found since last year that SARS-CoV-2 attacks the endothelial linings of vessels. And so all your organs are potentially at risk with SARS-CoV-2. And so what it does is the ACE2 receptor uses up spike protein uses the receptors, which is like a docking system for ACE2. If you have ACE2 deficiency, you're more prone to get arteriosclerosis. Because it's very damaging. So what ACE2 does is it calms down the system. It's part of the relaxation phase together with magnesium, and you need magnesium to make ACE2 as well. And so it controls the angiotensin. So angiotensin is the protein that works with calcium to tighten. Remember that ebb and flow of the muscles expanding and contracting. And without enough ACE2, ergo without enough magnesium, you're not able to control that relaxation phase, and you get mechanical damage because it's just overstimulated. And so the spike protein is like it's used like a Trojan horse. It's opening the doors it shouldn't open, which are the ACE2 receptor doors. And so that can cause damage to endothelial linings anywhere, so in any of the organs. So you'll find people who have very severe disease presentations can have it in different organs of the body. It's not just isolated in the lungs. It's a whole of body vascular problem. And it's only exacerbated by the fact that people already have a pre-existing acidic condition. So if you want to protect yourself and boost your immune system, and you've got to pay attention to the pH balance. You've got to pay attention to diet, avoid the junk food, particularly sugar and processed carbohydrates. So your flour, the flour that's used in breads and cakes and donuts, all of that, forget it. It's
what about people say, well, what if I do whole wheat?
Oh, well, a lot of people are sensitive to wheat now. Wheat has been altered genetically for a long time, and
what
a lot of it's GMO.
You see, the people are like wheat addicts because of how it lights up the brain. What if I do organic, non-GMO wheat?
So if you have already some kind of signs of metabolic syndrome, even mildly, I would advise to steer away from all grains because you've already got a sensitivity. So if everything was fine and dandy and you're well and healthy and you've got a very healthy microbiome and you easily digest food and everything's working well, no problem. But if you've already got some kind of sugar sensitivity, some kind of metabolism issues, you become hypersensitive and any slight little trigger will make everything worse. So you really have to start to walk the fine line down the middle, the righteous pathway, and really overcompensate with your good diet. You know, and this is being very vegetable dominant. Vegetables are your best friend. Fresh, organic vegetables, nothing in a package. Because you see packaged foods, they've got to have preservatives and chemicals in them. Some of them have colorings and flavorings. Anything in a box, think of it as, you know, dead. So you want to put living life in your body. So your fresh food, you know, grow your own if you can. Have pot plants and herbs and start to dress up your salads with really good nutrition. So you can go online and look up a really good diet, you know, to give you an idea of how to eat well for metabolic syndrome. And basically it's avoiding all sweets. So even fructose it's got more glucose in it, more sugar molecules than even sucrose. And we enjoy our fruits, and so stick to the sour fruits because you need fruits for the enzymes, and you know it helps to clean up the body.
Sour fruits, lemon, lime.
Yeah, the berries, the forest berries. They're even very detoxing.
Even grapefruit would be okay. It's got a very
citrus is great. Yeah, lemons and grapefruit. Grapefruit.
Not orange. Orange has a high glycemic index.
Because it's sweeter, it has more sugar in it. So we're always going back to the sour fruits. The sour fruits really help the body to detox and to regain the pH balance. And that's why if you're starting to get some heart conditions like hypertension creeping in, having a half a grapefruit a day can often turn that around and rebalance your blood pressure. Just that half a grapefruit fresh, my favorite is the ruby red. That's really yummy. you don't necessarily have to reach for drugs first. You know, try your natural nutritional alternatives. You may be able to just manage that way. You know, at the end of the day, obviously consult with your doctor, get your tests. But if you can manage your health without resorting to medications, it's better, because medications get you addicted and then you have to take them forever.
And they also, many of them deplete the magnesium.
They do. They make you pee it out.
Start meds, then they become sicker because they're losing magnesium, and then they get more. I talk about that in If You Think You Don't Have PTSD book. There's one other thing also for alkalizing the body in addition to the citrus.
Bicarb soda.
Water.
So I drink a lot of water. Absolutely. How did I forget? It is so important because acidity makes us dehydrated. And so the body's craving water. And if it gets too dehydrated, you can start to swell up in the ankles. You get this swelling. And the worst thing you can do is take a diuretic, because your body's already in drought condition and here you are stealing even more water. So the cells can't function without water. I'm sorry. They just can't flush and rinse and get rid of stuff.
You know, Sandy, I was thinking, because I've become so aware of this, you know, I talked in Kish. In many of my books, in Love Never Dies, I talk about how I've struggled with my health, having been born 3 months early. And I am aware of the dehydration due to, you know, certain congenital problems that I had from birth, and the cells closing down. I can feel that, the cells wanting to protect you from the acidity of that, you know, lower pH. So that even when you're hyperacidic and you're dehydrated, and you drink a lot of water, I'm aware that the water doesn't even go into the cell. So, you know, when you're really, really having a low pH.
Yes. And digestion will affect that a lot as well. So if your microbiome is not very healthy, you might even have developed leaky gut, or it can go the other way and you can have lots of stuff stuck to the lining of the intestines and filling up, you know, the crevices and causing diverticulitis. And, you know, when that poop stays in those channels too long, you can absorb toxins back into the body, which gives you headaches, toxic headaches. And then it starts to erode the lining of the gut. It becomes too acidic when it should be alkaline, and the pathogens move in because they love acid. Your candida starts to flourish with the acids and sugars, and then candida is a fungus. It gets it. It kind of tells your brain to eat more sugar, and you get these sugar cravings. You're really feeding the candida, nothing else. Candida is it piggybacks off your system and it steals your nutrition and your resources. So you really want to be able to control those pathogens, and you control them via environment, the cell environment, the tissue environment, to keep the pH balance. So your good beneficial bacteria love the alkaline environment. So when you're eating your vegetables, nice variety, lots of different colors, really start to enjoy your vegetables. You won't be able to go back to junk food. You really, once you start to get used to it, your body will recognize, this is really good. You feel good. Your energy levels can return. And, you know, if you are having constipation problems, that's also a sign of acidity and things getting stuck. So you could have a little bit of organic porridge. So the very hydrated grains like oats, so they have a higher level of protein. They come packaged with lots of minerals, and they take water through the intestine and like a sweeper. So you get like The fiber is the broom, and the soaked up water flushes everything through. It's really good. You maybe soak a few prunes in there. I know that they're got too much sugar, maybe just like half a prune or something.
Or maybe even, you know, what you could do is, especially most people have these conditions, have microbiome disturbance, they could use some of that gut friendly, you know,
Fermented products, sauerkraut's really good.
Yeah, for fiber instead of the prune. Or even, I'm just having a complete brain flatulence right now. the gut friendly probiotic that is, that even with leaky gut, you can use it. And with SIBO, you can use it. I can't believe.
Oh, Saccharomyces boulardii.
No, that's not what I'm thinking about. Isn't that crazy? This is like we're doing the 20 question thing.
There's a whole bunch of really good supplements that you could get that can help you restore the microbiome. But if you're still very acidic, you're going to kill those good critters that go in there. So you need to be persistent. You need to be persistent with the diet, with the probiotic supplementation and fermented foods, and avoiding the chemicals, avoiding stress, and definitely a lot more magnesium. You can have magnesium baths, foot soaks, and drink magnesium water. So we have a food grade magnesium chloride. You can use one pinch per liter, so that's a big bottle, to remineralize your filtered drinking water. And that has a charge in it, then the body just loves it, and it's very easily able to take it up in that form. It doesn't require any further digestion. It goes straight into cells. As soon as you drink, your brain sort of lights up. You just feel really recovered and good and balanced.
Cindy, can you believe we're over time? I can't even, because we will cover more in our next show. It's partially hydrolyzed guar gum. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It was a fantastic show. Your knowledge is infinite. Everyone, next week is Thanksgiving. And I want to remind you, set a place for your loved ones in spirit. Bring them to your holiday table. Holidays are so hard for people. They think that they are without their loved ones when they're right here. They're just a breath away. Bring them to your holiday table. Don't be sad this Thanksgiving. And I will see you next time on Love Never Dies Radio and Dr. Turndorf, Turn on the Love. Thanks again, Sandy.
Thanks, Jamie. Bye-bye.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.